Good afternoon, and welcome to We the People Radio. My name is Erin Ryan.
And I'm Bill Cundiff.
And you can find everything about our show at wethepeopleradio.us. We've got archives stretching back like 9.5 years, actually. Got tons.
Back when I was just a pup.
Yeah, Bill was in high school then.
Yeah.
topics that really span the wide variety of things that might be discussed on a conservative talk radio program. We have collected some of those on the top bar for you. So the shows that were about veterans issues, South Africa, China, Islam, environmental craziness, which I think we'll be going back to next week if we don't go to firearms, thinking about that. Marijuana, we've done a bunch of shows on that. And so if you would like to look at them by topic, that's across the top bar. And the archives are listed by date. So you've got tons of people all around the country. And we really appreciate our listeners outside the U.S. For people who are listening, regardless of where you are, it's, I don't know, it's been very interesting to watch. We've got about half the listeners are outside the U.S., regardless of topic. And the number one place outside the U.S. is Ukraine. So I guess we should be saying hi to our Ukrainian friends every week. Besides that, it might get us in trouble, so we should definitely be doing that.
Definitely say hi.
The Russians are way down there. They don't love us as much, so I'm not sure we can get in good trouble. You know, the Ukrainians do, so God love you.
Yeah.
Boys and girls. So
We have a sponsor.
I was just going to say that. Were you trying to read my mind with your mouth?
Yeah, our sponsor this hour is Pape Machinery.
Look at him. He's like, come on, do the sponsor.
Yeah, do it.
Okay,
do it.
All right. Okay, start over.
Pape Machinery is our local John Deere ag and turf dealer. They're located at 3119 Twinview Boulevard in Shasta Lake City, just off of I-5 there, Twinview. They carry everything you can imagine in the way of small tractors, attachments, riding mowers, zero-turn motors. They've got them all, and they got them all, in stock.
Sure.
And, just go by there and take a look at what they have. If you need service, they got a full-service department. They also have a mobile service capability. They pretty much do it all. So go up and see them. Their phone number is 226-9226, or you can check them out on the web at papemachinery.com. That's spelled P-A-P-E machinery.com. So that's the guys for this hour.
Nice.
Yeah.
Well, we like the ag industry. They, they make our large properties look nice and take care of stuff. And if you're an ag producer, big happy Sunday to you. Thanks for making our grocery store trip later today worthwhile.
That's right. Because we know where groceries come from.
Because we do know where groceries come from. And it's not the store.
No.
Yeah. Meat doesn't come from the butcher either.
No.
Meat comes from cows that apparently don't fart, by the way. Little side trail here. That it's apparently the belching.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's the methane problem.
Yeah.
Which is kind of funny. So even those imbeciles with their climate change nonsense don't even know which end of the cow they're worried about.
They got the wrong end on that one, too. Huh?
Yeah, yeah. They don't even know where to put the cork.
Nice.
So we're going to talk about Islam today with our friend Peter Friedman. And in case we get all serious and start talking about serious topics and forget to mention this, we did a show with Peter Friedman not that long ago, and it was about the FBI. Yes. Oh. Wow. I guess it was a really long time ago, February of 2018.
Well,
okay, apparently I've slept since then.
Almost a year.
But I was just laughing about it the other day. It's like it just happened. So if you would like to hear a funny story, true stories about the FBI and, spoiler alert, one gun falling in the toilet. Every time I saw an FBI guy the other night at an event, and every time I see an FBI guy, I picture him dropping his gun in the toilet. It's terrible.
Yeah.
You've ruined us forever, Peter. We are
rank and file.
We are forever ruined. So our guest Peter Friedman, just since apparently we haven't done this real recently, I can't believe it's been that long. He's been studying and lecturing on the threat of Islam to America for over 40 years. He maintains a thorough collection of Qurans in English translations, beginning with George Sale's translation of 1734. So just in case you were thinking he was going to be making up all the stuff he's going to talk to us about today, yeah, not so much. Each one's been studied and researched and compared to the others, and he does a tremendous amount of research. And I I do believe that the phrase of the day will be read the book, because that's what he always tells us. We always ask him a bunch of dumb questions, and he tells us to read the book. So I just want you to know that we're going to get yelled at a lot today, so it's worth sticking around. And I'm going to skip to the bottom part of Peter. Oh, apparently your name is Peter Fry on the archive. Bill just pointed out. I'll fix that.
Yeah,
I'll
fix that, will you?
Okay, so back to the facts. Many members of Mr. Friedman's family were murdered in the Holocaust by the Nazis. So it's also always been a fascination that the Muslims supported the Germans in both World War I and World War II. In fact, it was the Grand Mufti of Jerusalem, his last name is Husseini. I don't know how you say the rest of it. You could tell us, Peter. If I read the book, I'd probably know. And he was the uncle of Yasser Arafat, who supported Hitler by sending Bosnian Muslim soldiers to be part of the SS. I mean, what the heck? You've got an awesome history, and no wonder you started looking into this.
Well, you know, it's always been a fascination. I think I told you many, many moons ago, and God, I've been on with you for, what, at least a dozen times, I guess, over the years.
Yeah, and it was back in 2012, the first time you came on, so.
It's hard to believe.
I know, isn't that weird? And we've still never met you.
Well, you know something? I was going to mention that. I would be more than happy, which I have done before, to come up to where you are, and hopefully, like on a Saturday, do a workshop.
That'd be
and
fun.
go through all of this stuff here. I did it down there in Gilroy 5-6 years ago when they were trying to build a mosque down there in San Martin, just outside of Gilroy, and was in the public library down there and did an entire workshop on a Saturday. It was about 6 hours. And went through the origins of the Quran, and then we talked about Sharia law, and it went on and on and on, and people were absolutely dumbfounded. And as we went along, people who were sitting there were calling other people who then came over, and we wound up with several hundred people there at the time.
Wow.
And explaining... you know, the origins of the mosque and what it represents. And I've got PowerPoint presentations on all of this, if you like death by PowerPoint. And it was fascinating. And since we did that and we had the city council members who ultimately showed up for the last several hours, the mosque has yet to be built.
Nice.
And that's what happens when you tell the truth. And you are absolutely correct about read the book. If you don't read the book, then there's no point in any of this. You've got to read the book because reading the book will justify and substantiate the problem. And the problem begins with, and I have 10 basic questions for people to ask of any Muslim, whether it's an imam or a guy on the street or somebody in the Middle East. And the very first question has to be, do you believe that every word that is printed in the Quran comes literally from God? Now, from a religious standpoint, if they are a practicing Muslim, they have to answer yes. The minute they answer yes, kind of like Ilhan Omar in Congress from Minnesota, you know exactly what you're dealing with. Which means that everything that comes out of her mouth or Rashida Tlaib or any Muslim that is in contradiction to what is written in the Quran is a lie. Now, this opens up a very interesting thing. Are you allowed to lie in Islam? Most Muslims will say no. Let's read the book. Go back to book, there are 114 books or chapters or surahs in the Quran. There's 6,247 verses. In chapter 66, it talks about lying in Islam and the exemptions or exceptions to the fact that Muslims are not allowed to lie to each other. Okay?
Well, they can't
certainly
lie.
Okay.
They can't lie to each other, but they can probably lie to us. Let's take a really quick break so we don't get that confused. We'll pick right up with that when we return. You're listening to We the People. Our guest today is Peter Friedman. You can find us at wethepeopleradio.us. It cut it off at the part about how they were going to reach out and grab you. That's what I was going for. I guess I didn't make the clip long enough. So what? We all know the song. Okay, so back to the lying.
Okay, so what I deal with, as you well know from our past communications, is I deal from the book. Okay, I don't take it at face value anything that anybody says. Read the book. All right, and it will tell you everything. And give
we're
you
talking
the
about the
question.
Quran, just to be...
I'm talking about the Quran.
Yeah,
yes.
Clear.
Okay, and you got to read one that has not been sanitized either. So if you want to get a Quran that's authentic, get the one by Pickthall, P-I-C-K-T-H-A-L-L, or Ali Yusuf, Y-U-S-U-F. Those are the legitimate ones, and they have everything in it that we're going to talk about. Some of the other ones wind up being sanitized to use, you know, for the infidel, meaning us or the non-believer, to try to convince them Islam is peaceful. Yeah, well, it's P-I-E-C-E, not P-A-C-E. You know, it's kind of like Hitler. You know, he wanted peace, too. He wanted a piece of Czechoslovakia and a piece of Poland. Okay, so let's talk about lying in Islam, because that is critically important. Okay, to understanding all of this stuff, especially with what's going on in Iran. I mean, they have taken this to an art. Okay, so the concept of deception in Islam, to advance Islam in Arabic, is called taqiyya. T-A-Q-I-Y-Y-A. That is the Arabic word for deception. So when anybody tells you that you know, that Islam is peaceful and all they want to do is live together with everybody and it's merciful and everything, it's all nonsense. It's all nonsense. And unfortunately, we with our Christian ethic, and I'm not trying to be pejorative, I'm just stating a fact, go in for appeasement, we go in for, well, let's pay you like the alligator theory to eat us last. Mm-hmm. And strangely enough, Islam has made so many inroads into the United States, especially, and lately through Barack Obama and the Muslim Brotherhood, that they are in the process of getting a political foothold in the United States without having to use a sword. And so this is a big deal for them. Okay, so speaking of swords, and I constantly tell my Christian friends, and I have quite a few of them, that if you really want to read something interesting, read the book of Luke, chapter 22, verse 36. Now, what is Luke 22, 36? Luke 22, 36 is when Jesus essentially indicates to the disciples that he is going to be leaving them, and they say, Master, what are we supposed to do? How are we supposed to defend ourselves? And Jesus says to them, and you may read this in Luke 22:36, he says that if you do not have a sword, then sell your cloak and buy one. You have the right of self-defense. So if you talk to Christian clerics, they don't like to bring this up, but they know about it. Trust me on that one, because I pose this to everyone I run into. And anybody who says, well, no, we have to turn the other cheek. No, that's nonsense. Jesus specifically said that you have the right of self-defense, and I quote, if you do not have a sword, then sell your cloak and buy one. Luke 22:36. Okay, so crossing over now. It's interesting how the exemptions to lying took place in the Quran. You're going to like this, like the FBI and the gun in the toilet.
Nothing's that good.
This is pretty good.
Oh, okay.
This is pretty good. Okay. If you go to chapter 66 in the Quran, it talks about the exemptions to not being truthful. And there are three exemptions that are in the Quran. Now, remember, this is the literal word of God for a Muslim. So all these people like Zuhdi Jasser and, you know, the people you see on Fox News sometime, these women who are Muslim reformers, this is nonsense. You cannot edit the word of God. Okay?
Okay.
All right. So here's what happened. Okay. You are allowed to lie if it is going to save your life during the time of war. Okay? You can renounce Islam if you are taken captive to save your life so that you can fight another day. The second one is you are allowed to lie in order to advance the cause of Islam, which in the Quran is defined as to wipe all other religions off the face of the earth so that Islam is the only one left. So anything that advances the cause of Islam can be deceitful.
So you can pretty much lie about anything then. Yeah.
Sky's the limit.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Hey, you're beginning to get it already. Now, the third one is really funny. Here's the problem. In one of the last battles that Muhammad actually was involved in, there was a woman who was a captive, and her name in the Quran is called Mary the Copt, C-O-P-T. She was a Coptic Christian. And his soldiers wound up killing her husband, and she was exceptionally beautiful, and they to curry favor with Muhammad. They brought her to Muhammad. Muhammad decided that he was going to take her for one of his 22 wives. Okay, so what happened? The night that she was captured, Muhammad spent the night with Mary, and in the morning he came back to the main tent where his formerly 6-year-old wife, Aisha, had been. She was about 20 at this point, and it was her turn with Muhammad. And she gave Muhammad holy hell. Where were you? I know you were with that slut, Mary, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. You were supposed to be with me last night. And Muhammad said, well, he said, Aisha, he says, you realize that every word that comes out of a Muslim mouth is preordained by Allah. He says, so let me go up into the cave outside of town, he says, and Let me see whether or not I can get an answer from Allah through the angel Gabriel to me about this situation. So he goes up there, and I can picture Muhammad sitting in the cave, smoking a little ganj, a little fire going on there, and all of a sudden he gets this revelation. And I don't mean he gets a revelation from God. And he comes back to Aisha that afternoon. He says, I've got the answer. He said, I had this revelation. It was put into my head by Gabriel from Allah. And he said, in fact, it is okay to lie to one's wife to keep peace in the home.
That's handy.
And she bought it. Oh, yeah. Okay, so this is like the driving commercials on TV. This is a professional driver on a closed course. Don't you try. Okay?
Don't try this at home. Your wife will know.
Yeah. You don't have a canyon.
Unbelievable.
Your wife is not going to buy this.
No. I have not tried it. All I know is I brought this up to Rose in one of my lectures one afternoon, and she just gave me this stink eye look, and I'm going, yeah, okay, that's not going to work. It's kind of like Bill Clinton, right, and Monica Lewinsky.
That worked out
well. Wasn't sense. Yeah, how did that work out for him? Okay, so there are passages written down in Islamic literature, including the Quran, that talk about this. In Book 2, verse 225, in Book 4, verse 101, Book 66, the entire chapter 66 in the Quran is devoted to the three exceptions, the lying. I think we talked about the hadith before, the hadith of the sayings of Muhammad collected by a bunch of his followers. So volume 7, chapter 27, verse 2605, the current revision of Sharia law, which is called the reliance of the traveler. It's in two sections there. It's in C6.2. It's in R8.2. And it just goes on and on and on. You gotta read the book.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Now, there are certain parts of the book, of course, that, you know, might help you, such as Book 66 in certain situations. But you have to understand that if you read the book and a Muslim says, no, you're not allowed to lie under Islam, you know it's taqiya. You know it's deception. It's that simple, but people don't want to believe it in the West, okay?
Because no, that wouldn't be okay in, I mean, if it's a religion, then that's not okay. And so we just see everything through our own lens, I guess, just like everything
else.
You got
it. You absolutely are correct, okay? So when you take the lenses of Judaism and Christianity and you decide to throw, you know, Islam in there, you know, it doesn't,
they try to make it come out right.
Yeah, but it doesn't come out right. Okay, so moving from there, talking about the lens, let's talk a little bit about some of these baloney interfaith groups.
There's
a whole lot of interfaith groups that are out there running around.
How about this, Peter? Let's take a really quick break, and that way we don't have to interrupt you.
No problem.
We'll just like interrupt you at the front end. I didn't say we would never interrupt. Well, I could say we were never going to interrupt you.
Taqiya.
Yeah. Yep.
There you go.
We need to have like a little sound file. Taqiya.
Yeah.
I think we can figure that out.
So we'll have a little celebration of capitalism here and be right back. You're listening to We the People. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us.
Take me by love. So take my soul.
Pretty sure that's what Aisha was playing when Muhammad came back.
Yeah. Anything you want.
And then Roy Orbison was like, oh my God, that would make an awesome song.
Yeah.
Yeah, anyway.
Yeah. That's where it came from. Revelation.
It's amazing how you look at music throughout history, and you know, as you're talking, I'm looking at song titles, and it's like, wow, never would have thought of that before. We've now desecrated Roy Orbison. Sorry, it's going to get worse before it gets better.
It will.
All right.
Okay. All right. So speaking of deception,
yes.
Before we get into some of the better stuff, there are interfaith groups that are out there running around. Most of them are Las Vegas lounge acts. And they have a minister, they have a pastor, they have a rabbi, they've got an imam. And there's this one group that I have gone to watch a couple of times in the last 7-8 years.
Well, don't forget they're all tax pardon? They're all tax exempt too, so don't forget that part.
Oh, they're all 501c3s.
Yeah.
Okay, so these guys are great. They build themselves out as the Three Amigos. You know, and you gotta go and listen to these people. So they were in a Presbyterian church here where I live, and there's a Reform rabbi, and a Reform rabbi is a communist, you know, right from the open. And I can do a whole program on that if you'd like, Reform, conservative, and Orthodox. But the whole Reform movement was born out of the Bolsheviks after the Russian Revolution. There's a Christian pastor, and there's a Muslim imam, and the guy's from Pakistan. And I sat there in a Presbyterian church over here in Lafayette, California, and it was 2 hours of lies by the imam. And as he was going through all of this nonsense, the rabbi and the pastor were pleading with the audience, who were mostly, you know, Presbyterians, for patience, understanding, further neighbor-to-neighbor dialogue between Jews, Christians, and Muslims. And this imam consistently misquoted the Quran for the entire time. It was interesting because he started out by saying there were 6,250 verses. In fact, there are only 6,247, but who's quibbling? And I happened to bring with me, of course, my copy of Pickthall's Quran and Reliance of the Traveler, which is Sharia law. The most serious fabrication the imam made during this 2 hours involved the treatment of homosexuality in the Islamic world. And he described specifically that homosexuality was not biologically inherent, but chosen by those who are gay. He described numerous Islamic charitable organizations in the Islamic world, including in Iran and Saudi Arabia, who try to assist homosexuals with returning to the heterosexual life. And the rabbi and the pastor said nothing during this. So in the meantime, we see what goes on, you know, in Iran, where they're stringing up, you know, homosexuals, they're throwing them out of third floor windows. Mm-hmm. And stuff like this. So, you know, it's like, I don't know whether you ever saw the old Peter Sellers movie, What's New Pussycat?
Oh, yeah.
But Peter Sellers is in the closet with the good-looking girl, and his wife is the opera singer, you know, that with the horn, the hat with the horns and everything, and she comes down and confronts him, throws open the door, and finds Peter Sellers in there, you know, with the girl, and she says, I caught you, and Sellers comes out and says, no, you didn't. Are you going to believe your lying eyes or what I tell you? You know, and it's the same. And this stuff goes on and on and on. The imam was then discussing how well women are treated under Islam.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Based on what?
He said that women love Allah and Islam. They love being Muslim. He says they feel protected. He said that the Quran does not condone treating women harshly, except for the fact that, you know, you're allowed to beat your wife if she talks back to you, and on and on and on. It's an entire patriarchal ideology, okay? It's a totally patriarchal belief system. And the problem that I had sitting there, and I've always had going to these stupid interfaith get-togethers here, is observing the audience. And here are people who probably average, I don't know, the age of 60, mostly Christians, few Jews mixed in, and They were there to hear what they wanted to hear. Okay? Like, please tell me that Islam is peaceful and just misunderstood. Please tell me that I have nothing to fear from Muslims. You know, and stereotypically, of course, the imam charged that all the violence in the Middle East is caused by Israel, and, you know, on and on and on and on. And it's terrible. It's, you know, so I would recommend that you go to one of these things, if for no other reason, you know, to just see the deception and the lies that are being perpetrated. Okay, now, read the book. Read the book. In the book, in the Quran and in the Hadith, it talks about two portions of the world. The world is divided into two sections. One is called Dar al-Islam. Dar meaning the land al, the land of Islam, where Islam is in control. And it's supposed to be peaceful. There is equitable misery among everybody. Okay? And nobody gets ahead. Then there's the other side, which is called Dar al-Harb, H-A-R-B, which is the land of conflict. And that is where Islam does not have dominion. And so it is a religious obligation in all of Islamic literature for a devout Muslim or a practicing Muslim to transition from Dar al-Islam into Dar al-Harb and try and proselytize and convert everybody to Islam. Now, it's kind of like Monty Hall, okay, with the three doors, right?
Yeah.
The game show. Okay, door number one. Door number one is Muslims take over. They come to you as a non-believer, and they say, okay, you have three doors. Okay, door number one. Door number one is you convert, and we leave you alone. Door number two, you don't convert, but you have to pay the extortion tax, the protection tax. It sounds like the mafia. You have to pay the protection tax called in Arabic jizya. Okay? Or what's door number three? We kill you.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think that has a sword.
Because now you're of no use. You're of no use to Islam anymore. You won't convert and be part of the club, and you're not going to give us the money for protection, so what value do you have? We're going to kill you. Okay? Done. Door one, door two, door three. Okay. Let's go to the book. So, for example, there is no, people will tell you, well, there's no violence in the Quran, and the violence that is in the Quran, of course, I just contradicted myself. The violence in the Quran is historical, like the Old Testament. They constantly harp on that. Well, there's no difference between the Old Testament and the Quran. Wait a minute. The Quran is supposed to be the literal word of God. The Old Testament was written with the inspiration of God, but it was written by man. Okay? So it's kind of editable, and it has been along the way for thousands of years. So, for example, let's talk about non-believers. That's us. And you go to book two, you go to verse 191, and it says, kill the non-believers wherever you find them. Book two, verse 244, fight in the way of Allah. Book two, verse 216, fighting is enjoined on you. Book three, verse 56, and then as to those who disbelieve, I will chastise them with severe chastisement in this world and the hereafter. Book 3, verse 151. We will cast terror into the hearts of those who disbelieve. Their abode is the fire. Let's see. 4.74. Let those fight in the way of Allah. Whoever fights in the way of Allah, we shall grant him a mighty reward. Book 4, verse 89, non-believers desire that you should disbelieve as they have disbelieved. Then seize them and kill them wherever you find them. Take not from among them a friend or a helper. Book 4, verse 104, be not weak-hearted in pursuit of the enemy. That's us. I'll go just a little further. Book 5, this is a good one. Book 5, verse 33, the punishment of those who wage war against Allah and his disciple is that they should be murdered or crucified, or their hands and their feet should be cut off on opposite sides.
That's not a good choice.
Yeah, kind of backed into a corner on that one, which is how these all end. And, you know, we've got to take another quick break, but maybe on the break, if people happen to be online, look at the Islam tab at the top of the page. And on below the shows there is a link for a really, really good book. It's not the Quran, so it's not the book, but it is a book, and it's amazing, written by Mr. Friedman's friend, Frank Burley. It's All About Muhammad. And every time I tell someone the story or the name of it, they're like, well, what's the name of it? I go, it's called, quote, It's All About Muhammad, unquote. And they're like, I know it's all about Muhammad, but what's it called? I thought, oh my God. He should have just called it Who's On First. It starts this endless circle. So that's the name of the darn book, and we put a picture of it on there. But honestly, I have been able to have a lot of conversations with people who are super misinformed, even people who were actually Muslim, which was interesting. And I asked them a lot of things that we learned from that book, and they don't know that stuff. It's the biography of Muhammad, and it's really, really well researched. So, and it's a compelling read. So anyway, that is on there. We'll be back with our guest, Peter Friedman. He is our hostage for the following hour, just in case you thought we were going to slam bang wrap up here, because we're not. There's more.
Much more.
There's more. There's always more. We'll be right back. You're listening to We the People. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us. Either team could use that one, because that's really the crux of it, isn't it? Nobody's backing down.
Don't back down.
On our side, their side.
But if you back down, you could live in a tent and eat with your hands.
Bonus. Yeah. Intel lies.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'm sold.
There's some good points there. Yeah.
Sorry. That's all we know. Now back to our guest, Peter Friedman.
well, speaking of don't back down and the Second Amendment for a minute, we've got to wait and see what happens tomorrow in Virginia.
I know it. I've got to get a hold of our friend out there in Virginia and see if he'll pop on with us about that particular topic. He's usually into national security, but.
I don't know whether to believe the press or
you know. I want to talk to somebody who's there.
Yeah, because I think the press is blowing this thing up, I think, a little bit. I know that.
Well, they love that.
I mean, they are.
Yes. Yeah. Well, they're calling for 100,000 people. I think anything that draws 100,000 people is noteworthy. But
there were 1 million people that were supposed to be at Area 51, and that didn't happen.
Yeah, that was a couple thousand.
I know that's different.
Yeah, that's way different. You don't mess with aliens.
Sorry, I shouldn't have brought that.
Yeah, they all back there scared. Yeah. So
what's really interesting is that Northam, Mr. Blackface back there, threatened to call out.
Uh oh. Did we lose him?
Oh, he got cut off at the pass.
Yeah, we lost him. I'll get him back. Yeah.
Okie dokie. Okay. So Bill and I will talk about nothing here for just a second.
When Northam made his announcement to implement martial law, he, contrary to popular belief, he was not wearing blackface. He only wears blackface on Tuesdays and Fridays.
Is that it?
Yeah, so he was not wearing blackface when he made the announcement.
And when it's like some sort of gala event.
Yeah, an event. Yeah, he'll he'll dress up for that. Yeah, so I don't know what happened there. We lost our guest.
He got cut off at the pass. Okay, so while she's calling him, back to the book entitled "It's All About Muhammad."
Excellent read.
My favorite part was the part where, as they were pillaging their way through the Middle East, Muhammad's gang was getting bigger. They were sort of like pirates. They'd take them over and steal their stuff and their women. Muhammad was keeping all the cute girls, and the other guys started to get mad. So then Muhammad decided that God told him that Allah told him that they all had to wear covers over their faces. No, for real.
Yeah, that's right.
It's in the book. So,
right. So that book.
Spoiler alert. That's one of my favorites.
If you read that book, or if you buy that book, I guarantee you won't put it down. It's a big book, but it's a fascinating read about how all that took place and how it was written and all about how
he's got a great writing style. He's just a real real good storyteller.
It was a great read.
Not imaginary stories, but, you know, he just weaves it into a really good story. But I love that part. Yeah, they've got to all wear the thing over their face because Muhammad wanted to keep all the cute girls. It's like, what the heck? Yep.
They did have a casting couch.
Frank Burley is the Ernest Hemingway of Islamic literature.
It's true, too.
I mean,
I would hope that's not his real name, and I don't know, he probably lives in a bunker somewhere after that because he really blew the doors off him. And if I'm not mistaken, it's like 20,000 references or something. I mean, it's just pages and pages of references.
Yeah, 10 years.
Yeah,
10 years worth.
Yeah. So anybody who thinks this is just like some guy's opinion,
every bit of it's backed up.
But he does explain some really inexplicable things, like the covering over the face part. And I thought, wow, that just beats it all.
That and the fact that Muhammad had epilepsy.
That would be pivotal.
Constant epileptic fits, and people around him thought that he was receiving revelations from Allah.
Yeah, well, and that's why they have to rock back and forth on the rugs. Because that's what Muhammad did when he thought he had a seizure coming on, and he's like, oh, Allah told us all to do this. Everybody's rocking back on the rugs. All these years later, because they were following a guy that had epilepsy, it's like,
Grandpa used to do it, so we do it.
Oh, we lost Sue. Sue's on the floor in the engineering room.
It's like, why do you cut the ends off the ham? Because it's in the pan.
Because Grandma's pan was only 8 inches long. It's like, what? And so we're still doing rug rocking. It's like, and the thing on the face and all that, just nutty. I mean, it's just nutty. But when you read it in the context of his research, you're like, oh, this...
Yeah, really? You know, really?
Yeah.
Seriously?
Kind of makes sense. I mean, hey, if you were going to start like a big thing, and he wasn't popular, nobody liked him, everybody thinks he was this big charismatic leader, but he really wasn't, and actually nobody liked him, which is why he had to kill people to get him to join. I'll kill you or you join, or maybe I'll just kill you and steal your stuff. And, oh, hey, if you guys come with me, we'll kill those guys and steal their stuff. They were like pirates.
And I'll split it with you.
That's right.
Yeah.
I mean,
we'll split the booty.
They literally were like pirates. Honestly, through that whole book, it's pretty long. But as you're reading along, you have to keep stopping yourself and going, wow, this is like reading about Jesus only backwards. Like people think like Jesus and Muhammad were like both, you know, great prophets, started worldwide religions, blah, 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 lived these amazing lives. And it's like, no. When you read the biography of Muhammad, it's literally Jesus in reverse.
He was a gangster.
Yes. He was, too.
He was a pedophile and a serial killer.
And then there was that.
Oh, huge serial killer.
I mean, right out of the box. It was how many? It was a lot. It was like 30,000 people or something. I don't know. It was some ghastly number. And it was really early in the game, and people were like, uh-oh. You know, we better be nice to that Muhammad guy. So it wasn't like, oh, wow, he's got a great idea. We're really being enlightened by this, which is, I think, people overlay the Christian history over the Islamic history, thinking it's just the same, only slightly different. It's like, no, it's just the same, only 100% in reverse.
Yeah,
exactly.
Join or you're dead. And
not only that, but do you know, even today, do you know what the average IQ is in the Islamic world?
Take a guess.
It's like 75 or something, isn't it?
It's 84.
Ooh, sorry. Did they get a bump?
It's come up to 84.
Yeah.
Because there's just so much
intermarrying and you know, first cousins and stuff like that. It just, you know, and people don't understand. They don't want to buy it. They you know, they want to buy the appeasement angle and, well, let's pay them off and maybe they'll eat us last. But you're going to get eaten.
Yeah, exactly.
Because that's the religious obligation. For example, back to the book.
Not the one with the fun stories, the other one.
Yeah, the other one. So, but book 8, verse 12, I will cast terror into the hearts of those who disbelieve. Therefore, strike off their heads and strike off every fingertip of them.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah. Book 8, verse 39. So anybody that tells you that Judaism and Christianity can peacefully coexist with Islam, that's nonsense. Book 8, verse 39, fight with them. Fight with the non-believers and until religion should be only for Allah. Let's see, 9.5, slay the idolaters wherever you find them. Take them captive. Lie in wait for them in every ambush. Okay, then my favorite one is Book 9, verse 29. Fight those who do not believe in Allah until they pay the tax. That's the extortion jizya money.
Mm-hmm.
Until they pay the tax in acknowledgement of superiority of Islam, and they are in a state of subjection. So there's door number two.
Yeah, that's door number two.
I mean, you don't make this stuff up. This is all religious, obligatory information, you know, that's right there in the Quran. And then you go into the Hadith, and these are the sayings of Muhammad, supposedly as related by his followers. Well, after Muhammad's death in 632, Uthman, who succeeded him as the caliph or the caliph, you know, sent every word out all over the Islamic realm and told all the buddies who had ever been with Muhammad, send us in 3x5 index cards with you know, any question you ever ask Muhammad and the answer he gave you, and we're going to compile all of this. And what Uthman did was he took 6 clerics, or people who were actually familiar with Muhammad
People will have to hang through the news break to get the rest of the story. We're sorry. We're going to get cut off here in just a few seconds. Our guest, Peter Friedman, will be with us next hour. You're listening to We the People. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us.